Good morning, everyone. And you're all very welcome as we join for worship together this morning. We pray that you will know God's blessing as we worship together. And of course, we're all invited round for a cup of tea after the service to join in fellowship. And we do have a little bit of leftovers. There was an event in the church yesterday, so there's a little bit of cake left over from that. It's a wedding cake. We had a lovely wedding in here yesterday, and a little reception round in solid ground, and there was some cake left over, and you're all very welcome to come and join that in that, suppose, post-celebration. And we do want to just extend our congratulations to Karen and to Craig. Forgot his name. It's a good job I didn't forget his name yesterday. We do want to extend our congratulations to them. For those who were there, it was a lovely day and a very blessed day, and it was a blessing to be part of it and to be able to help them to get to that point in their relationship. So that was great. So come round and you'll get a bit of cake round there. Hopefully your announcement sheet, you've got it. And in your announcement sheet, you will have noticed your Trinity prayer update. Please don't just discard that with the announcement sheet. Please make sure you use it, read it every day. Just one little prayer keeps you in touch with the work of the congregation. Just a number of announcements to highlight this morning, and one or two additional little things. There is going to be an overflow evangelism event on Thursday the 9th of March, 9:45 to 3 p.m. in Assembly Buildings in Church House up in Belfast. There's a free lunch. It's a free event. It's just about engaging in evangelism. It's during the day. I know it's a Thursday, but if you would like to go to that, I have to register any names this week. So speak to me today, or let me know tomorrow if you would like to go. If you're available to go, that is on Thursday the 9th of March, 9:45 to 3, for overflow evangelism. Next Sunday morning, I had sent out an email to all the discipleship group leaders asking them to meet next Sunday, so I'm just reminding you of that. Could you please meet in the quiet room after church next Sunday for a little short meeting just to we discuss some bits and pieces about the discipleship groups. Fusion are now beginning, they're going to start opening up solid ground. They normally, the youth club, that is our youth club, they normally work on the first floor, but now they're coming down. They have so many kids there, they're coming downstairs now, opening up the solid ground, and they want to put sort of like a board game on each table. So if you had an old board game that's complete, no bits missing, if you have something there that you would like to donate, give that to me or to Terry, to someone, leave it for them. We'll know who it is. Leave it in the minister's room or something like that, or in the church office. That would be great. And again, please remember the work of Fusion. It has exploded, I suppose, in the last year. We don't know why. We just now have 40 plus up to you, many, Terry. You know, 50 on a big night of young people, many of them unchurched, no church connections. So if that's something that you think you would like to be involved in or to help out in, speak to me or speak to Terry. He'll fill you in on what the responsibilities are, but more help would certainly be, and you don't have to go every week. That would be the other thing. You could go on and go once a month, and Terry could work you into his rota, and that would be great if we could do that. There has been, unfortunately, in the past few weeks, a number of break-ins in church premises around the peninsula. People would come in and ask to use the loo, and then they would leave a window open, or they would leave a door open, and then they come back later on and break in. So we're asking all organizations to please make sure that when you are locking up, that all windows and all doors are secured. There have been a number of occasions where I've arrived or somebody's arrived and our doors have been left open, unlocked. But thankfully, that's just been an oversight. So please, please, if you could double check everything just at this time, for there are people around. And just to remind organizations to make sure if you take something out of a store that it goes back into that store and everything is returned and floors are brushed and just that little tidy-up routine is completed every week. Also, just to remind you of the date for the Included Conference on the 13th of May, more details nearer the time. And also, I think Diane put out little cards this morning on the pews. Did that happen? Are you sitting on them? See people? One minute here to check. Those are little cards for Christianity Explored, starting tomorrow night. And we do ask you to pray about that. bring somebody with you. Now is the time, if you've mentioned it before, to mention it again. And if you would like to come and pray for Christianity Explored while it's on, come round to the minister's room at 7:15, and the prayer ministry team will be in there. Norman will be in with anybody who wants to pray for the work as it's happening. So please come along, 7:15, to that. And then on Friday the 17th of March at 8 p.m., George Conn is coming from the Faith Mission, and he's going to do a presentation on Harry Ferguson. He's going to be looking at his life from a historical point of view, from his engineering point of view, his farming, and his Christian life. So please put that in your diary. That will be a church fellowship event on the 17th of March at 8 p.m. I'm sure it will be in the announcement sheet soon. Now, the last announcement is an announcement, a letter from the moderator. And, of course, we're coming up to time of election. So he has written to us to ask us to pray. So I'm just going to read his letter out on his behalf this morning. On Thursday the 2nd of March, people will once again make their way to polling stations across Northern Ireland to elect a new assembly. Following May's election, few of us expected a return to the ballot box within such a short space of time. In these circumstances, we could easily be cynical and pessimistic about politics. But as followers of Christ, who are called to pray for our politicians and our political leaders, of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we take comfort in the knowledge that he is able to make things work for good in the brokenness of our lives and in our world. Since becoming moderator, I have had the privilege of meeting many wonderful people across the island of Ireland who are serving the Lord Jesus in different ways. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for the vital work that you do helping people in need and coming alongside those who are struggling. You will be well aware of the spectrum of difficult and complex issues facing individuals and local communities, issues in which government often has responsibilities and a definite role to play. Engaging and participating in the democratic process is therefore one of the ways that we may seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which we have been called. That's from Jeremiah 29, verse 7. So can I encourage you and your congregation to approach the upcoming election prayerfully and to vote in the hope that the people we elect will work with integrity, generosity of spirit, and a commitment to the common good. As we do, let us always have in mind the words of Scripture and the example of Jesus, which teaches us to love our neighbor, to love our enemies, to care for the weak, the poor, the most vulnerable, and above all, to love God with all our heart and soul and mind. Yours in his service, Frank Seller. So later on, when we pray for others, we will be including our political setup and our role in that. So now we're going to come to worship, and Scott is going to lead us this morning in our call to worship and our opening praises.
Morning. I'm just going to start by reading from Ephesians 1, verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. So that's my prayer for this morning. I know it's many other people's prayer for this morning also, that everyone in this room, that their eyes will be opened, their minds will be open to learning the word, that their ears will be open to hearing God's word, to hearing what he has to say to us, and that our hearts will be ready to be transformed by his great power, as he can transform us all. So we're going to stand up and sing this song, and then I'm going to ask if you could stay standing as I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into the next song. So let's stand. I want to see you.
holy, 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 I want to see.
Lord God, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet together as family in this one place, to be able to praise and worship your name, to sing glories to you, Lord. And that is what we're called to do, to bring glory and praise to you. Lord, we pray for those, again, in the world that do not have the opportunity to meet in safety, to meet in peace, to meet at all, and to come to you and come to your name, Lord. So I ask that you be with them. God, we have everyone in this church, everyone standing right now, that the Spirit may move in their hearts, that they will leave this building changed. They will leave this building as a new person ready to go out and do your work in the world, Lord. So we thank you for this time we dedicate to you, for you, Lord. Amen.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules a nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, oh, oh Jesus, I sing. You've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Singing, worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. You would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. We'd invite you now to turn with me as we look at God's Word. We're going to read it together in Proverbs chapter 12. Today we're looking at the commandments again, and today we're talking about respecting truth. So the Proverbs are a slightly different book from many of the other books in the Bible. It's made up almost verse by verse of various little sayings. So as we read these various little verses this morning, just think about words related to truth. Words related to truth and attitudes related to truth, and the result of those attitudes in our lives and anyone's life who would read this chapter. This is God's Word, Proverbs chapter 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases faintlessness lacks judgment. The wicked desires the plunders of the evil man, but the root of the righteous flourishes. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. We're going to sing one more piece now before the boys and girls go. Boys and girls, there's more than one. The boys and girls go out to K4C. So let's all stand together and sing My Lighthouse. You may make your way out now to K4C, and we pray you'll be blessed as your leaders tell you something about Jesus. I was getting a bit excited there. I heard the first note of the Formula One. Doesn't start for a number of weeks yet. Sermons will get shorter then. We're continuing our studies in the Ten Commandments. We do trust you're enjoying this, and it's really helping you to dig into things. And if you still haven't had a book and you want to dig into it, there are some books still available at the door into Solid Ground there. So please lift one of those and have a read through it. Today we're talking about respecting truth. And we live in a time when truth is something that we can bend or stretch, or it's not a straightforward thing, truth. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Sometimes that's called preacher's license, by the way. Sometimes we can take little bits of the story and we can juice them up to make the story sound better. Or we can do it sometimes to make the situation sound a lot worse. We also do other things with information. Well, if that happened, then, oh, this must have happened. Sometimes when there's a story and there's gaps in the story, we don't worry about the truth. We just fill it in with what we think would be good as the truth. And quite often what we fill it in with is the juiciest thing, the most controversial thing. And of course, every man in this congregation will recognize this next statement. The older I get, the better I was. Yes, man. The stories of our younger days get inflated with the length of our years and our inability. So as our inabilities decrease, our history increases. Isn't that right? We were better than we ever were when we were younger men. We tend to exaggerate the past. We sometimes forget. There's lots of debate and discussion about truth and about lies. Small lies, big lies, bad lies, and good lies. Can there be such a thing as a good lie? I lied to my wife last year. Because I told her all about this great party that we were going to have, and it wasn't the party that she was having at all, it was a different party. So was that lie all right to keep her off the scent of the surprise party? Is it all right when you get caught out, you want to keep the surprise? You're not doing anybody any harm, so you can see where the discussion starts to become a little messy at this end of things. Certain traditions around Christmas time. A little bit of lies there. I'm sure every parent here has been involved in that over the years. Sometimes we tell lies to protect people. The old question can be asked, if you were out in Africa or in some country where there were militias and you were standing in the village and people come running in and they said, oh, they're chasing us, they're trying to kill us. You would give them food and water and they would head off in this direction. Then the militia would come and say, we're looking for such and such. What direction did they go? Would you in that moment tell the truth? Or would you send them off in a different direction by telling a lie? So you see, there's a debate. There's some things that makes us really stop and think about this. But what I find is, whenever we talk about these little lies or these good lies or these lies that do no harm, what we want to do then is apply that principle to every lie and therefore dissolve the truth. And it's the same as we discussed murder. It's the same as when we were discussing adultery. It's the same as when we were discussing stealing. There's always a slippery slope. There's a point where we get into a real point of nearly no return. And any kind of lie takes us into that kind of point of no return. And as a nation, and as the Western world, as a developed people, we have come into a time when we live in a post-truth era. Yes, a post-truth era. This was highlighted. This is actually the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year for last year. Post-truth. It centered around, and it was highlighted, it was used very often around the Brexit debate and the US elections. Now, it's a very wordy definition up there. Relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion or personal belief. Now, I had to read that a number of times and highlight a couple of words. Basically, what it's saying is, the truth is not as important as what I think about the situation. If I think something is something, then that is more important and is now more influential than the hard facts, the truth of the situation. And we've seen this. We've witnessed this. Things were said about certain candidates. Things were said about being in Brexit and out of Brexit. And we know those things weren't true. But they were promoted as ideologies to get what people wanted. This is called relativism. That's the kind of lifestyle that this is. All things are relative. Relativism would relate to, I could say to you, this Bible is red. I believe this Bible is red, therefore the Bible is red. But you all know the color of the Bible. Black. That's the truth. But if I believe it's red, then it's red. Black becomes red to me. That's relativism. Relativism leads to chaos. We have seen that in the Bible. We've just sang about somebody who can rescue us from the chaos. In the Bible, if you go and read Judges, you will see what happens with relativism. Judges is a downward spiral. And the last verse in the book of Judges says there was no king in Israel, so every man did as he saw fit. It was chaos. There was no relative truth. No absolute truth, sorry. The king was not holding the whole thing in the middle. There was not king's rules, the king dishing out the disciplines. There was nothing. It was chaos. That's what relativism brings. That's why this command is so important. You shall not give false testimony. It was on my computer. It disappeared when we moved on to that one. But on the slide it says, you shall not give false testimony. You shall not tell lies. You shall not tell lies about your neighbor. That's the command. Very much the focus is on about telling lies about somebody else. But that doesn't mean we can tell lies about ourselves. It doesn't mean we can tell lies about a situation. Because as we read in Proverbs, God made it really clear. The Lord detests lying lips. The Lord detests lying lips. This is one of the strongest words that could have been used in the Hebrew language. It comes with the strongest sense, the most amount of force. The Lord detests lying lips. Regardless of the lie or the subject, whether it's about somebody else, something else, or yourself, God detests it. And if we remember that these commands were given, from last week we looked, these commands are given to God's chosen people. They were given to remind them of what God had done. They were given to tell them what way God wants them to live together as a community. And if you look down through that, I mean, Proverbs is a different book, as I said at the start. It's full of little short parables, little short sayings. Sometimes there's little riddles in there, and they're there to give us wisdom. There's wisdom in there for all ages. You may read something that may apply to your life. It may not apply to your life. But there's something for everyone in the book of Proverbs. So you have to sort of read through and highlight. If you don't like highlighting your Bible, print that out. You'll find it online. But go through this and highlight things that God really speaks to you. But if we think of the context of God's people and what God is saying to the people in this proverb, he's saying this: if you live this kind of way, according to my commands, there will be people of noble character. He says on it, the plans of the righteous are just. There is wisdom, there is caring, there is prudence, there is truthfulness, there is the promotion of peace, there is diligence, honesty. There are kind words. And in verse 14, that kind of links, one verse links in the two things of what people do and then the result of it. Fruitful lips bring good things. In those parables in chapter 12, we're told there is delight and favor from the Lord for people who live this way. There is abundant flourishing. There is safety. There is healing. There is joy. all summed up in that one set of parables in chapter 12. Commands for God's people, parables for God's people. And we are God's chosen people. The Church of Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen people. So it's as much for us as it was for anyone, or is for anyone. But we live in New Testament times. But then you go in search of the New Testament, and I did a little search online using two words, one another, and then I used another search, each other. Searching of how we, in the New Testament chosen people, should treat each other. And this is the list of things that we come up with. We are to love, be devoted. We are to honor. We're to live in harmony with one another. We are to have acceptance. We are to kiss one another. I would like to just suggest, if you go and search this, it is a holy kiss. It's a kind of peck on the cheek or one of those lovely mwah, mwah. Anything on the lips is reserved for those who are married. Let's just draw the line there and we'll all be okay. We are to live at peace with one another. We are to wait for one another. Have concern. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Be agreeable. Be patient. Be encouraging. Be praying. And Paul sums all of this up with a verse in Colossians. He says, do not lie to each other. Don't do it. You have taken off the old self, he says. With all that sinful contamination, you have taken that off and you are now clothed with something else. He says, you have put on a new self, which is being renewed in its knowledge and in its image of its creator. If you're part of God's chosen people, you are being made like Christ. You're being made perfect. And yes, we all know we're a long way off that, but that's the process that we are in. So we are not to lie. God's chosen people were never to lie to each other. God is our heavenly Father, and he does not want his children to lie. It is not his will for us. He detests it. What about these old lies then? I would like to invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 to 47. And without shoving a Bible in somebody's face, I would like to make sure that everyone has access to see the Bible and read the Bible. These are very, very, well, all the verses in the Bible are very important. But in relation to lies, these verses are very important. And I want to make sure that everyone has followed them with their eyes and that everyone is hearing them with their ears this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 8, reading from verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The devil is the father of lies and the father of liars. If you are not God's child, you are the devil's child. The devil's desire is to scheme and to deceive and to snare with all kinds of falsehoods, all kinds of lies. His desire is to keep you away from a relationship with Jesus Christ, and ultimately, he is keeping you from becoming a child of God. Now, if we just read this one passage in isolation, it would seem to say, well, if you're God's child, you can't hear. If you're Satan's child, you only hear his lies. And there seems to be no way out of that situation according to these passages. This is why we never just read one passage in the Bible. This is why we read other passages in the Bible. The deadlock of this situation must be broken, and it can be broken. Jesus goes on later on in John's Gospel in chapter 16. He says, the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. There is God's voice. There is the devil's voice. And to hear the commands and the plans of God, you have to be able to hear God's voice. So in doing so, he asks the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And his voice is louder. His voice is louder than Satan's. The truth breaks in to the lies in our mind, the lies in our hearts. How do we know it? Because I used to be the devil's child. Many of you sitting here used to be the devil's child. In fact, every one of us, when we're born, we are the devil's child. We are born sinful. This deadlock must be broken in our lives, and it can be broken in our lives because the Holy Spirit is louder than Satan. He can break into your life with the truth. And when he does, if you've got John's Gospel open, I want everybody to turn back just maybe a page. It's a page in my Bible. Just go, still in chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what the truth that the Holy Spirit speaks does. It sets you free. This is the ultimate truth of God. It is the truth that Jesus Christ was born, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that Jesus Christ was and is perfect. The truth is that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for the sin that corrupted each of us the moment we were born. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to the tomb. He rose from the tomb, conquering death. For who? For us. Not for himself, not for his own purposes, but for us, to satisfy God's wrath. He appeared to men and women, hundreds of them. And then he went to heaven to prepare a place for who? For us. He prepared a place so that we could be with him for all eternity. That is the truth. Are you hearing it? I'm trying to say it loud in case you're sleeping. Jesus Christ died for you. The lie is this. The lie is this. You'll be all right without Jesus. Don't worry about Jesus. You're a good person. That'll see you through at the end. Sometimes the whisper is louder than what Jesus Christ is shouting at us through his Spirit. And did you think of the songs that we were singing this morning? The words that were on there? You probably sung those words this morning. But did you hear them? Did they go right into your mind? Is God impressing them on your heart this morning? Because here is the truth. If you are not God's child, you are the devil's child. Jesus told this story. He painted this great picture for the time when he returns. And that's the truth. Jesus came. He did what he had to do. He went, and he's coming back. And when he comes back, this is the truth. He builds this picture. He paints this picture of drawing all nations to himself. And he separates them, sheep and goats. The sheep, he's the shepherd. There's the clue, if you read that in Matthew's Gospel. The sheep are his, the goats are not. The sheep go into the pen, the goats do not. The goats are on his left. Jesus says this, "Then I will say to those on my left, depart from me, you who are cursed, and to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's the truth. Friend, are you ready to be set free today? Is this truth becoming clear to you today? Sometimes people think that Jesus just dispatches these goats and just gets rid of them and he doesn't care about them. It breaks his heart. He thought about it. Jesus died for these goats. No goat, I believe, goes in to the place assigned for Satan without having heard from Jesus Christ. I just can't believe it. He actually paints another lovely picture for us. Revelation 3:20. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will slam it in their face." No. "I will come in and I will dine with them and they will eat with me." Is Jesus banging at your door today? Is the Spirit shouting louder? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus defeated death for you. He has an eternity prepared for you. Is that what's in your hearing today? Is that the truth that's going on today? I pray that it is. I pray that it is. You see, that lie binds us, it bounds us, and it weighs us down. And I can tell you that I was once that way. And I can tell you that I was set free. But I can't tell you what that freedom's like. Because my freedom. Every other believer in this place has their own sense, their own feeling of freedom. It's a personal feeling of freedom. The only way to feel it is to experience it for yourself. But the truth of it comes again in John. Chapter 8, verse 36. Please look at this verse. Remember this verse. I hope this verse will set you up not just for this day, but for the rest of this week. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." If Jesus has set you free, you are free indeed. And I know in the joy of your hearts, there's a silent hallelujah. I hope there is. Jesus sets you free. He sets you free indeed from the eternal consequences of sin. He sets you free from the path of a lost eternity. The last verse in Proverbs 12 says we are free to live for righteousness, free to live for God along the path to immortality. When you're on that path, when you've been set free, you are on a path to eternity with God. But here on earth, lies still affect us. The devil will tempt God's children to tell lies. And he will use lies to destroy your testimony, your witness, your walk with the Lord. But remember, you have been set free. Always remember that. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Remember that. Your eternity is sealed. Colossians 3, verse 10. You have put on a new garment. You are being made like Jesus Christ. But we live in a world that is infected with this contagious disease. A contagious disease called lies. But there is a vaccination for it. There is an antidote for it. It's called the truth. It's called the truth. If the devil tempts you to lie, and that lie causes damage, that can be mended. That can be fixed with the truth. If a lie is used to destroy your testimony, that damage can be mended with the truth. Because our Lord delights in truth. He is opposed to lies. He puts his shoulder to the wheel of truth. When we come clean, if we have lied, when we repent about that, God forgives us. He enables forgiveness within our relationships. When we are lied about, God puts his shoulder to the wheel. He puts his energy into truth. He is about truth. He's not about relative truth either. He's about absolute truth. God wants to forgive us for the lies. He wants to enable us to forgive others who have lied about us. That's tough. Forgiveness is tough, but it is absolutely possible. Absolutely possible. Lying is a disease. The cure is truth. And when we respect truth, it ultimately reveals the absolute truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if the truth has set you free, then you belong to God. John chapter 8, verse 47. And if you belong to God, you hear his words. Your ears are open. You can hear him. You can know how to live your life. You just got to listen. You just got to concentrate. Concentrate on his truth. You'll not go far wrong if you stick to God's truth in your life. So, we should stay away from embellishment. We should stay away from guessing. We should stay away from exaggeration. We should stick to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you have not yet been set free, then the devil is your father, and you will share his destination at the end of the path. And it's not immortality. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. You can't come to the Father unless you come through Jesus. He's the way. Let's respect this absolute truth. Let's live by it. And if you are unable to live by it, it is absolutely available for you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your truth. We thank you for the words of this scripture. From Genesis to Revelation has never changed. Lord, many have tried in vain to prove it to be false. But time and time and time again it is proved to be true, true, true. People who do not claim any connection to Christianity believe it to be true, historically true. The greatest work of antiquity, they call it. And we pray for its truth today, Lord. If we believe what it has said, has happened, is true, then we believe what it says will happen is also true. And Lord, we look forward to that day that you come back and you take us out of this fallen world to be with you for all eternity. Our great Father Shepherd coming for his sheep. But Lord, we pray that that will not happen today. For Lord, we know there are those not ready. There are goats in this building. And we pray for the truth of your gospel. We pray for the words of the Holy Spirit. We pray against Satan and his whispers. We pray that your word would not return void today, but achieve the purposes for which it is sent. And we pray that we would leave as truthful people, people determined to live out that truth and speak that truth in all areas of our lives. And we pray, Lord God, for those who are your children, our brothers and sisters, who are beating the campaign trail at this time, going around doors, seeking elections, seeking votes. We pray for the truth on their lips. And when they get into office, we pray that they would live out that truth. And Lord, may those who would even deny your existence, Lord, may they be under your influence, speaking the truth. And Lord, where there have been lies in our lives, we ask for your forgiveness to be poured out. Help us to ask for forgiveness for the things that we have said that were wrong. Ask us then to offer and give that forgiveness for those who would approach us, who would come and testify to the lies and admit to their lies. Lord, help us to build a peaceful and unified family here in this place that would be attractive to all those around us and who would hear about what you are doing in our family here. We ask, God, that you would continue to be with us in unity through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to give now of our tithes and our offerings before we sing our final piece of praise. Your offering will now be received. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you today, for the song, the prayers, your scriptures, for the welcome, the fellowship, all that we have shared and been part of today. And for this offering, Lord, we pray you would bless it. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this way. And we pray, Lord, that people would know the truth because of our simple act this morning. So we dedicate this, Lord, to you for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to our final piece of praise this morning. The first lines is, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Two things joined together, the spirit and truth. And if God has been speaking to you this morning, don't leave without bringing those two things together. I am available. Our elders are available. Our prayer ministry team is available. If there's been something in your life that's still holding you back, then let's just pray it like that. Go on, let's just dispel it today. Let's break any binds that Satan tries to tell us. Even now, you might be saying to you, oh, no, don't bother, you'll be all right. Come and spend 5 or 10 minutes with the Lord in prayer and see how that spirit would break those things and see how you could be changed and renewed. That's what we're singing, offering our life in spirit and truth. Let's not go out without both this morning. Let's all stand together now, singing to the glory of God.
To you. In surrender I must give my every part, or receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can
Now, in the grace of Jesus Christ that daily renews us, may the love of God, which enables us to love all, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that unites us in one body, make us eager to obey the will of God until we meet again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.